It's the Two Dummies Show with
Devin
and Noah. Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of Two Dummies. I'm Noah.
I'm Devin. Mr. Business is here. He's currently trying to get out of my room. That is my kitty.
But this is a special episode of Two Dummies because we are interviewing a very special guest. Let me introduce him. Ladies and garbage cans, boys and gorillas, our guest today was an award-winning clown at birthday parties and schools all over the Bay Area for over 25 years. I had all the CDs, I had all the DVDs, I was in his fan club. He does magic, he does slapstick, he does juggling. He even taught my sister's preschool basketball class. Everyone welcome, Dave Mample, a.k.a. Daffy Dave.
Hey, all right. Hi, I'm honored to be the third dummy today. Thank you.
This is going to be so fun. Daffy Dave, you do not understand. You are a celebrity in the Bender household.
Wow.
Like, your target audience is like 4 to 8 year olds, but you have really went above and beyond in my family.
So you just never grew up?
Basically. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. I mean, like, when I was kind of preparing for this interview, I kind of rewatched some of your routines and listened to songs, and like they make me laugh the same way they did when I was 3 years old.
That's great. You know, keep that inner child glowing, my friend. I'm so happy to hear that.
I remember we had a dance party because we're both in the same dance troupe, and Noah took over the music and started playing Daffy Dave.
I did.
No way. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Which one was
it? You guys like embarrassed?
No, I mean, I was obviously on board. It was,
Okay.
I think it was Red Light, Green Light.
I mean, that's a classic song.
Oh, yeah. My God. Well, I'm going to play it at my funeral, actually. So, you know, you guys are, you're just one step ahead of me, really.
Yeah, that was such a party starter.
I know, right? And ender.
Well, yeah, I mean, I went to all your shows in preschool at the PJCC preschool in Foster City.
Wow. Cool.
I feel like I was at one of the TV tapings.
Oh yeah.
For the Daffy Dave Tree Fort.
Was that one with the big auditorium where you guys were all in those seats and jumping up and down and all that and doing the hop hop song and stuff?
Probably. I do remember the hop hop song.
And then I had like Dusty Buckles and Uncle Ben Franklin with me on that. Like, we were doing the band stuff.
Yeah, definitely. I remember those guys mostly from the DVDs.
Oh yeah. Okay. They were great.
But. Wow. I mean, okay, so let's just get right in. So, like, before you were a clown, you were a minister.
Yeah.
I want to know about the transition from minister to clown. How does that happen?
Wait, I had no idea. This is extremely interesting.
Okay, wow. Yeah. All right, Devin, welcome to the crazy interview here. Well... You know, I got to tell you, I've written a book about it, too, actually, called Coyote Spirit. It's on Amazon, and it's all about this, because it is a weird story, right? I mean, who goes from a clown to a minister to a clown? I do. And basically, you know, the thumbnail story on that is that I grew up, you know, in a minister's family. I was a fifth-generation minister. I became, you know, ordained in this very liberal, you know, United Church of Christ, very liberal Protestant church. And, you know, I followed in the footsteps of my father, but I realized, you know, I was making my congregation laugh all the time and I was doing all these dumb things, you know, messing up the service a lot. And, Yeah, exactly. You know, and one day after the service, my organist, you know, everybody's shaking hands with the minister going out. She said, you know, I think you're more of an entertainer than you are a minister. And I actually literally saw like lights go off in front of my eyes when she said that. It was so weird.
Sounds and like a cathartic moment.
It was a very cathartic, you know, and it took me a couple years after that, but I realized, you know, that, yeah, I needed to go out and really do, you know, what I wanted to do in life. And I always wanted to be an entertainer of some kind, a rock star preferably. And that morphed into like kids songs for Daffy, you know, Daffy Dave kids songs, which is wasn't really what I was expecting or wanting, but it ended up being fun anyway. But so the clown thing was just like, I didn't know what to do. I knew I needed to leave the church thing behind, and it was real traumatic for my family. You know, my mom and dad were worried, how are you going to pay the bills and stuff, which is kind of a weird thing. So, but I said, yeah, you know, I just need, I'm 30. I need to do this now before, you know, I have kids and, you know, it's too late. Kind of, I wanted to live out my dreams. So, I did. I came out to California. I was living in Idaho Falls, Idaho at the time. And left that church behind. Actually, and there's a darker twist to that story that I'm not revealing right now, but I can get into that if you want me to. But I was, you know, into active addiction, and I was basically asked to leave the church. I had a problem with drugs, and so you know that was the darker side of the story. But at the same time, I was also wanting to do what I wanted to do in life, and eventually I got into recovery. I've been, and literally, I am a clean clown. I've been clean for 22 years now in recovery. Yes. Yeah. So yay. But you know, I had to clean up a lot of mess from what I left behind there. And, so, you know, so I came out to California, started doing the rock band stuff. And then I started doing the Daffy Dave stuff on the side because people said, you know, you're really good with kids. You're always making our kids laugh. Why don't you be a clown or something like that? And I was like, oh, that's a great idea. So, you know, I started doing this experimenting with doing these clown show things. Pretty soon it started taking off.
Yeah, and what were some of your first clown shows like?
Oh my God. I wrote down some of the most weirdest shows I had when I was a Daffy Dave. I just wrote down a whole bunch. I'm going to write a book about this, just on the weird shows I had. I mean, like I had these shows when I was young in the whole clown world, where one of my, I had like this agent guy who would send me out, you know, to do these parties with doing Barney the Dinosaur. I was cutting my teeth on Barney, man. And
I was Barney.
And you know, wore the costume and stuff like that. You know, because I didn't have enough gigs yet. I was trying to do everything. I was teaching guitar lessons, you know, I was washing people's cars, I was, you know, washing windows.
Hustling.
Yeah, I was totally hustling. I've always been scrappy. I should be called Scrappy Dave, actually. And you know, so I you know, he sent me out to do this Barney show, and you know, I'm done with the show, and the dad brings me out to the garage to pay me, and he offers me lines of cocaine on the washing machine.
What? You know what I
mean? So, and I'm like, whoa, dude, Barney doesn't do blow. You know what I mean? So, I mean, you know, so this is like, that was weird. And then I had two more weird Barney ones where I went to this other, a postal clerk picnic in the Santa Cruz Mountains, and it was a super hot day. And this drunk postal worker at their picnic decided it would be funny to punch Barney in the head. So he punches me. Hey, kids, watch this. He punches Barney. I didn't see it coming. Clocks me. The head of Barney the Dinosaur comes flying off. Oh. And all the kids scream and yell. They freak out because Barney's head flew off. And so that was like the weird second Barney show. And then the third one was I was doing this like show with, and I get it. There's only one kid at the whole show and 10 inebriated sexy moms, you know, in this circle. And I'm like doing this show as Barney the Dinosaur, and they're all drunk, and their little kid says to me, he's 3 years old, Barney, I have to go to the bathroom. And I'm going, oh, okay, kid, you know, we're singing Hokey Pokey in the circle, you know. And all of a sudden I look out the little Barney eyes and I can't see, you know, the moms. I said, what's going on? And I lift up the mask, and I see that all the moms are on the floor laughing on the ground, just laughing hysterically. And I'm going, what the hell? So I looked on the side, and the kid decided to whip his pee-pee out, and he was peeing on Barney's leg. So that was the last, by the way, that was the last Barney show ever. I hung up the suit. I gave it back to the agent with pee on it and said, that's it. I'm not doing Barney anymore.
That happened to me in kindergarten. I knocked on the door, and one of the kids, I was like, what are you doing? And he was just like, I'm peeing. And then I was like, oh, and then he came out and he's like, I'll show everyone. And he just started to pee outside.
So, yeah. Oh yeah. That's the freedom of childhood, man. You know?
Yeah. You definitely can't do that now.
No, right? I know. You get arrested.
I mean, it must be so crazy trying to get used to having an audience that's like 5 years old. That's probably so unpredictable, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, sure. And but I kind of always had a, you know me, you were a kid when I was there, right? So, I mean, I just sort of had this little thing with kids. I don't know what it is. I, you know, they just, I, I can be this adult who just makes all these mistakes and then they just laugh, you know.
Like a cartoon character.
Yeah, I'm really, it's exactly what I am. I'm a cartoon character.
Yeah, yeah. So speaking of that, like what like comedians or artists like influence like your Daffy Dave persona?
Well, Daffy Duck, first of all.
Oh, sure.
You know, because he was always getting angry and upset and trying to be all bravado. And then, yes, you'd always, and he would look so foolish, right? And so that was kind of the core essence of Daffy Dave, was really Daffy Duck, obviously, you know? And then I just had other influences, comedians and stuff like that along the way. I loved, you know, like Dana Carvey and Chris Farley and Kramer, you know,
oh, yeah,
and,
course,
you know, Jim Carrey, you know, these guys. So I just sort of, and then, you know, the really great ones like Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin and all that. I mean, I would watch those things all the time. I would just study, you know, slapstick. And I went to some professional, you know, mentors too, and then hired them to direct my show and everything like that too.
Well, yeah, that sounds amazing. I mean, like, so growing up, were you the, class clown?
Yeah,
school?
Yeah. Well, you know, yes and no. Yes, yeah, actually I was. But a lot of times, because I had three younger sisters growing up, you know, I always had to be the babysitter when my mom and dad wanted to go out, so the oldest, right? So, you know, that was how I kind of kept them entertained, you know, so I could deal with that. And then just, I think, and also growing up in Hawaii, I was a white kid in Hawaii, so there was that Haole thing, you know, that kind of the prejudice, reversed kind of prejudice. So I think that, you know, being funny in Hawaii was kind of a way to survive, you know. I mean, growing up in, well, just any kind of school, you know, I think, you know, if you're kind of getting picked on or whatever, if you do silly funny things and make people laugh, it just kind of, it's like a survival mechanism, you know.
Yeah, it's a way to diffuse the situation.
Yeah.
And turn the attention back on you, but in a good way.
Exactly. Yeah, thank you. I'll be here all week, kids, you know. Appreciate you not punching me in the mouth right now, because, you know, later on it's going to show up in Barney's jaw, but for now, thank you.
Yeah, well, speaking of that, do you have any good heckler stories from playing all these shows in schools and libraries?
Oh, God. You know, that's a good one. You know, I should have wrote that down when I was thinking about them all. Let's see. Heckler stories. You know, I remember coming up with all kinds of heckler lines, like, you know, get your own show, kid, or something like that. Or, you know, is this what happens
really,
with...
You can't really clap back in the same way that you would with, like, a drunk adult in a comedy club.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know, you have to just... A lot of times, you know, I would just speak louder than the hecklers, you know, because I had the microphone, and then until they just couldn't be heard anymore. You know, so, but yeah.
Let's wave the magic wand to make them shut up.
Right, you know. Oh, I take a remote control off of a TV set and try to go, hey, does this thing work?
Oh, that's good.
I can't seem to, wait a minute, I'm stuck on Animal Planet right now. You're acting like a total monkey or what? Oh. Just, you know, just kids lines.
Zing.
You know, yeah, right? Ooh.
Yeah, really cutting to the core.
Ooh, Daffy Dave, you really hurt me with monkey. Yeah.
Ooh, dang. You shook that plunger at me.
I know, right? Yeah. So a lot of times if I just do something funnier than they, you know, then all of a sudden it just diffuses it with the hecklers.
Okay, well, I got to ask you, one of my favorite Daffy Dave songs is Nanny Foofa Nanny.
For those unfamiliar, let's take a listen right now.
Well, nanny foofa nanny is such a silly word. I want to say it all day long just like a crazy bird. So when you hear me pouring ketchup in the rain, nanny foofa nanny is swimming in my brain. 'Cause nanny foofa nanny, ice cream on your car, driving in your bedroom, you'll never get too far. Nanny foofa nanny, when you're feeling blue, nanny foofa nanny is deep inside of you. But nanny foofa nanny, what's that stinky smell? Someone find a chicken so I can ring a bell. And nanny foofa nanny, ring a little bell, ring a little better, or you will have to spell Nanny Foofa Nanny. N-A-N-N-Y F-F-F-F-N-A-O. I really don't really know why. Nanny Foofa Nanny, standing on your head, walking on the ceiling, your cow can go to bed. Cause Nanny Foofa Nanny and Diddle Diddle D, Nanny Foofa Nanny is the song just right for me. Oh, Nanny Foofa Nanny is such a silly word, I want to say it all day long just like a crazy bird. When you hear me pouring ketchup in the rain, Nanny Foofa Nanny is swimming in my brain.
Such a silly word. Nanny Foofa Nanny.
Nanny is such a silly word.
I want to sing it all day long just like a crazy bird.
When you hear me pouring ketchup in the rain. And that line right there came from a Daffy Duck cartoon.
Ketchup in the rain?
Yeah. If you can look up, I don't know if it's on there, but there's this one crazy Daffy Duck scene where he's singing nuts and he's, you know, something, have me an umbrella, there's ketchup in the rain or something like that. And it just totally inspired that song, was a Daffy Duck thing on old cartoon.
Because that song is like full on just the perfect distillation. It's like turning the silliness up to 100.
That's exactly what I was saying. And also the other way that, and actually that term Nanny Foofa Nanny, it was invented by, I used to work for developmentally delayed adult population. You know, I would go to take them out into the community and learn how to do, you know, living skills, you know, and people with Down syndrome, autism, that kind of thing. And one of the guys would always, I can't say his name, obviously, but he would always say this phrase, Nanny Foofa Nanny. It was just something he would say, Nanny Foofa Nanny. I just kind of, and after a while, I started just love. I said, you know, I really love Nanny Foofa Nanny. That's kind of a cool grooving tune. So I said, hey, I'm going to write a song with that. And then I thought of the Daffy Duck thing, and that came together, and there's the song.
Yeah, it's just such a perfect bit of nonsense.
It's holy. That's what I was trying to do. I was trying to be absolutely absurd.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Devin, I want to hear an update on this because I know Daffy Dave will like this. Devin, you recently purchased a chicken suit.
Okay, so actually, we've both purchased a chicken suit.
We've been on a chicken journey for many months now.
Love chickens.
Our third co-host, I guess, is a chicken. Chicken occasionally comes in to the interviews.
Wait, should we bring him in?
I mean,
he's under your bed, right?
Yeah, let me go get him.
Oh my God. So you're in Florida?
Yes, I am in Florida. And so is Chicken, apparently.
I'm surprised there's chickens in Florida, actually. I mean, with all the alligators there.
You know, that's another thing. I love gators. We just moved houses, and our backyard is filled with gators. And
oh my God, get out of here.
Yeah, we have like two, but whenever we see them, we all run over and we're like, there's a gator out there. And then we all just like stare at this gator for 10 minutes. And it obviously just lays there in the sun the water.
You gotta be, that is just too weird.
Yeah, we just got a puppy. So
do you actually, what?
And she's not allowed outside.
No, I would think not. I mean, what if you accidentally walk outside in the middle of the night or something else and you step in a crocodile?
Yeah, that's crazy. And it knows that we have a puppy now, and it just stays in the back of our house.
Whoa.
It doesn't growl, but it, like, this is our backyard, and it's just right in the center, just staying there. Just staring, waiting for Sadie to come out.
Oh, my God. That is so scary.
Yeah, it's the most exciting thing that's happened this quarantine.
Yeah, you're like Jurassic Park over there.
But
this chicken suit.
Yeah.
How has it kind of impacted your life? Because I know for me, my chicken suit has really kind of let loose my true self, I feel like.
Well, I haven't been making any content this entire quarantine. I have just no creativity. I don't want to write anything. So buying this chicken suit has allowed me to make TikToks, has allowed me to do chicken content. It makes my parents happy that I'm doing something. And I think it's like an exercise too, because I'm constantly sweating in that suit. It is very hot.
Ooh.
But I recommend, I think everyone should have their own animal suit, preferably chicken.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely funny to look at.
Yeah, it was an amazing purchase.
Oh, totally. It was like $30.
Wow. Because, that was it. $30 bucks, that's it?
Because it's the thing with the creativity is, like, there, it feels like there's so much pressure to create, like, a kind of original idea and put your own spin on these trends and do something totally original and you, from your voice, from your identity. But when you're wearing the chicken costume, you don't have to think beyond, like, the punchline is just...
It's chicken.
Chicken.
Exactly.
The it gets a laugh is, right there.
Yeah, the punchline is the sound of chicken. Bok bok, and that's
yeah, chicken. The word is hilarious. The sound a chicken makes is hilarious.
Yeah,
eggs are funny.
It takes away all the thought.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's such an easy medium to use.
Yeah, I say. So great. I'm not the generic chicken. I'm the quintessential chicken.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Noah made a PowerPoint about.
I did make a PowerPoint about what. Whether the chicken came before the egg, and the answer is neither, because I am the eternal one.
He's the eternal chicken.
Yes.
Right on. I like it.
Well, that was very dumb, and that's a great segue into what is the dumbest thing that you've done this week, this quarantine? Just the dumbest thing.
Evan, you want to start?
Oh, I'll start. Mine's like very simple. Okay. I was making microwave popcorn. And we have this little shelf in there, so you could put two layers to microwave. And at 3 minutes, I took the shelf out and just fully burned this finger.
Oh.
I burned this. I don't know if you can tell. I got a lot of burns.
Ow.
Yeah, it was really dumb. That was just actually dumb.
Can you give us a reenactment of how it sounded?
Oh, popcorn's ready. Yow!
That was a very now, Daffy Dave reaction.
I know. Yeah. I like the yow. That was really a nice yow.
I think very if nice. You ever touch something hot, that's the noise you have to make.
Okay,
that's...
I'm going to just use that from now on.
Like hot phone, like yow!
Yow! So, wow. Okay. I didn't know the microwaves got hot, actually.
Well, they do. This one does.
I learned something new today. Thank you, actually.
Dave, let's hear yours. You said you had a dumbest thing of the week.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I don't know if I can top my sister. She fell into the pond out here. That was great, but I don't want to, you know, not take the attention off of me. So I'll let her, you know, slow fall into our mom and dad's pond out here be her thing. But for me, I was making my smoothie and I don't know how I did this, but I accidentally put garlic powder.
That's a big doink doink moment.
In there.
What?
Yeah, garlic powder. So the second dumbest thing was that I actually drank it afterwards. Mm. Knowing that the garlic, well, you see, because I didn't want to waste the smoothie. I said, darn it, I got garlic powder in there. Well, I'm just going to go for it and drink it. And, you know, I thought that maybe the cayenne would sort of mix together with the garlic, you know, to just sort of, but no, it was pretty bad. Mm. It was pretty bad. But, you know, it was okay, but it was dumb.
But that is like a perfect dumbest moment of the week, though, because that just makes you say, don't
garlic powder. Dang it, I meant to put cayenne in there.
Well, so my dumbest thing, it didn't happen this week. My dumbest thing is actually a Daffy Dave story.
Oh.
So this happened, I just figured I'd tell this story. This happened about 7 years ago when I was in high school. So I was in Foster City with my family. We were at a shopping center and we were walking in the parking lot and I saw the Daffy Dave car. You know, just the car, it was probably your car that said Daffy Dave on it. I was like, oh my God, Daffy Dave's here. And so we went into the Mexican restaurant, our favorite Mexican restaurant, Chevy's, to like try and meet you. And
oh, I think I remember
you
this.
You remember this? Okay. We this is so weird saying this. We found your table, and I was I went up to you with my sister and said, "Hello, Daffy Dave. I saw your car outside. I just wanted to say I'm a big fan."
I remember this.
Yeah, you. I went to shake your hand, and you took my hand, and you goes, thank you, I will kiss my hand, and kiss your own hand.
Oh, yeah.
And so we had like a 2-second interaction, but later that night, I was, my girlfriend came over, my high school girlfriend, and I was like riding high on this Dabby Dave meeting, and I was like, girlfriend, you gotta hear that I just met Dabby Dave. You gotta hear Dabby Dave music. So I played her Red Light, Green Light, and
no way.
And Choo Choo Train, and she was like, what is this?
Oh, because wow.
If you didn't grow up with Dabby Dave, it's maybe a little hard to be kind of blindsided with the kind of super fandom.
That totally killed the romance on that night, huh?
Yeah. She was like, what are you doing?
I'm blanking on the name, but I grew up with someone who sang a tootie-ta. Do you remember that song?
Tootie-ta?
It's like a tootie-ta, a tootie-ta, a tootie-ta, ta. No?
That sounds like one of those like camp songs that everybody sings.
It does sound weird.
That was like our childhood performer, but I am blanking on his name.
And it was in Florida?
Yeah, it was in Florida.
Okay.
Wow. So that's obviously why you guys don't get it. Never mind.
But that sounds campy. I like it.
If only everyone could be so lucky to have a local entertainer as good as mine.
Should we switch over to a different Zoom?
Yes. Let's take a break, and then we'll come back and answer some lovely advice questions. We'll be right back with Dabby Dave.
Hey.
And we are back on Two Dummies with Dabby Dave. And Devin, you told me that you have something to get off your chest.
I'm so upset. Why are you asking? Well, why you... Wait, I fucked it up. Okay. I am very upset because I've had these two sheets of paper on my window. My room is in the front of the house. And I have taped them on the window. One says Black Lives Matter. The second says kids are still in cages. I have had these up for months. I think the beginning of July is when I put the kids are still in cages. And once this whole George Floyd situation happened, I put Black Lives Matter. And it has come to my attention that I received a letter from the housing department of where I live saying that I did not abide to the rules and that due to Article 18.34, blah, 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 that I didn't get permission to post these signs. And then they attached a picture of my signs and said I have to remove them immediately.
You're being censored.
So obviously, I am clearly being censored. Somebody narked on my Black Lives Matter sign because they are triggered Trump supporters. And they got a little upset that all lives matter. All lives matter.
You're being shadow banned from life.
Yeah, so I want to call the housing department and be like, hi, actually, can I get permission to put two pieces of paper on my window? I got told I couldn't put two pieces of paper on my window. Meanwhile, my neighbor has a sign that says this house is guarded by angels. This house is guarded by angels.
You should knock on
their neighbor. Yeah, I'm going to say that I'm offended. I don't believe in angels. I believe in mermaids. I don't know.
You could say that. Your house is guarded by angels who believe that Black Lives Matter, you know, and then just you'll be okay.
Just add the Black Lives Matter to the angels. And then there's another sign that says, go ahead and whine a bit, and then it's a picture of wine. What if that's triggering for an alcoholic or a recovering alcoholic?
It already triggered me right there.
Yeah, so I should narc on them? And life's better at the beach? That's another one. What if I don't like the beach? I don't like it. So,
well, your house is guarded by gators.
Yeah. I just am so upset by where I live and how people couldn't handle just the sign that says Black Lives Matter and how it upset them.
You're in Florida.
I know. I thought I was in a better part of Florida, but I guess not. And I do have some cops in my neighborhood, so it could have been them. Hmm. I'm not sure. Hmm. But I had to get it off.
Is it a housing... Is it a regular house or is it a part of a condo townhouse community?
We are in a gated community, but it's...
Oh.
I mean,
it's got its own rules.
It's a sheet of paper. Come on. Yeah, so I'll just have everyone else waving their American flags, rubbing it in my face, and I can't hold my sign.
Well, you better, we'll petition for you for your rights.
Thank you. I'm actually not allowed to call and complain. I don't want to ruin my parents' relationship with this
housing.
Yeah, if it was my house, I would do it. But I am staying with my parents because quarantine.
All right. Well, we were talking about about tap dancing. And Dave, you said you had a great story about tap dancing. Let's hear that.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was just a endearing story. I mean, I was up at Wilbur Hot Springs in Northern California taking a little. Oh no, I know what it was. I got hired to play back the music for the reception of the wedding. And I was playing all these jazz standards and not Daffy Dave songs, by the way.
Nanny Foo Foo Nanny at some
point? No, Nanny Foo Foo Nanny. It was definitely, I didn't want to kill that wedding. So, but I was playing, one of the ones I started playing was Satin Doll. I don't know if you know, cigarette holder, which wigs me over her shoulder. She digs me out, Captain, my satin doll. It's an old jazz thing. And I'm starting to play that, and this lady in her 70s, she goes, oh, wait, stop. Hold that song. I'm going to go upstairs and get my tap dance shoes on. And she put her tap dance shoes on. She came outside. We were in this underneath this canopy, this veranda, and she tap danced to Satin Doll. I was just blown away. It was the coolest thing. And everybody in the reception party were just like clapping and going, yay. You know,
it she was just so had fun. Them handy.
She just happened to have them up at the,
yeah, she...
it was a clothing optional, you know, hot springs area. So she just happened to bring tap dance.
Well, she was, I guess always she did... bring my tap shoes to someone else's wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need the attention.
Yeah. Yeah. Just in case you need to show off.
Right. Exactly.
Well,
anyway,
that about brings us to our segment of the show where we like to go through old Dear Abby questions and Miss Manners and answer some advice from 20 years ago. Noah, would you like to hit us with one?
Yeah, I've got one. This first question is from June 29th, 2000. Here we go. Dear Dummies and Daffy Dave, Triple D, my daughter and her husband are taking their three boys to Europe for 5 weeks. The 13-year-old has been acting out. He has been rude to his school bus driver, disrespectful to his mother, and was the class clown and shows fitting all the signs of an uncomfortable uncomfortable pubescent boy without a safety net to catch him. We are two states apart, so it would be difficult to lend a hand. My grandsons are very close to me, and there are lots of tears when they leave grandma.
Aww.
My fear is that the 13-year-old boy is not ready or mature enough to handle 5 weeks in Europe and not disciplined enough to keep his cool. He is capable of a caper that may lead to his disappearance. Am I crazy to be this concerned? I've told my daughter my thoughts, but she is the mother, and so I am treading lightly. From Worrying in California.
Wait, is the whole family going?
Yeah, the whole family, but not the grandma. The grandma is the one who's asking the question.
Oh, so she's just jealous she didn't get invited.
No, she's worried. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
She seems to be worried that her 13-year-old grandson, the class clown, is going to act up and maybe cause some international intrigue or of some kind.
Yeah, like he's the arch nemesis and he's going to ruin the country they go to. That's crazy.
So the question is, how do you deal with a kid who is a class clown? Fools around, even when the teacher says to sit down.
I feel so left out. You guys have all your inside jokes.
Sorry about that.
No, it's fine. I'm used to it.
Yeah, how do you get a 13-year-old boy to behave?
You don't.
Yeah, you say stay home, you ground him. And you say,
give him a Playboy.
Yeah.
Give him a magazine.
Or how about saying, you know, look, we're going to ground you ahead of time before we go to Europe because we know you're going to act out.
Yeah, that's just give him the punishment preemptively so that he doesn't want to have extra punishment afterwards.
There you go. It's kind of like Minority Report with Tom Cruise. You know, we kind of suspect that you were going to do the crime, so we're going to arrest you now.
Yes, exactly.
Or like Devin with the signs. You're going to put up new signs, we know. So we're coming over now and giving you a memo.
I actually hung up the letter that they wrote me. And I hung up the picture of the picture they took of my window.
Oh, that's great.
Thank you. True renegade, Devin.
I know.
Yeah.
Were you like a class clown in when you were 13?
I would say no. I was pretty shy.
Really?
I was like funny with my friends in high school. I was so pissed. My best friend got class clown and I didn't.
She's
just louder. She's louder than
See,
me.
See, that's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And I would say the jokes and like she'd say them louder.
Did you get any senior superlatives?
No. I should have gotten, let me tell you which ones I should have won.
Okay.
I should have won best eyes. I should have won class clown. I couldn't have won best friends because my best friend was a senior when I was a junior. But then when I was a senior, she was in college. What other superlatives are there? Most likely to succeed. I should have won that.
Just won best all around going. MVP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I would say I was a shy class clown who wanted the attention but didn't actually ask for it.
You're a wannabe class clown.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, man.
My senior year, not to brag, I won Broadway Bound.
I did win Most Artistic. Bound.
That's good.
That's good. In middle school, I won Most Artistic because I wore a lot of vests and I wore a lot of like...
How artistic of you.
I know. I wore like jewelry with my polo shirts and like... I don't know. I just designed a lot of clothes and I won Most Artistic, but...
Wow, you're so ahead of your time.
I know. Middle school was the prime of my life. I say it all the time and I stand by it.
You peaked in middle school?
Yeah, but I have an advice question.
Yeah, let's hear it.
This one's from 2004. Dear Triple D, after decades of being an ungrateful, ill-mannered young woman, I've decided to make a permanent life change into a woman of grace and social skills. I'm embarrassed to ask, but if my family and friends no longer invite you to dinner parties or send you gifts for your birthday, how does one show the new change towards those she loves most?
That's it?
So, yeah.
How do you prove to your friends that you're a good person again?
Yeah, your friends and family.
Probably just show up. Show up to the party.
But that's, I don't want that. If I didn't want the person to come, I don't want them to show up.
Yeah, I'm gonna crash your party to prove that I'm a good person.
That proves that you're still a good person.
Yeah, to prove that I can respect your boundaries and honor your wishes, I'm gonna go right up to you when you're giving your speech at the wedding and say, "Hey, look how great I am that I'm back here. Didn't you miss me?"
Sounds like a little Steve Carroll in The Office or something. You know,
Yeah,
Michael would definitely do that.
Yeah, so my thing, I don't know, I don't think there is a way to prove it unless you have to like post on social media and like brag about your change, and then that's still annoying.
I feel like that's worse, posting on social media.
I would never do
person
that
again.
Yeah, I would hate it. I don't know. Totally. I just don't think there's a way to prove it.
No,
unless
I would not.
They ask again. I don't know.
Yeah, it's your actions, right? I mean, it's not like what you say, it's what you do.
I mean, I guess you could just reach out to them and be like, "I'm sorry for what I've done."
That's true. Yeah, yeah.
And I'd like to hang out again, and you can give me presents again, and I'll say thank you.
Well, Devin, I'm thinking of your point of view on this because you are a person, not with a lot of enemies, but with a lot of people who you've kind of been like, "You suck. I hate you. Get out of my life."
Yeah.
Say one of those people were to say, "Hey, Devin, I just wanted to say that I know that I was really annoying and mean to you or was a terrible next-door neighbor, and I just want to say, like, I'm really sorry, and I just want to be your friend. Like, all I wanted was just to hang out with you and have you, I think you're really cool, and hang out with me."
I'd say thank you for acknowledging how annoying you've been. But I would not like to go back to where we were.
but kindly F off, okay?
Yeah, kindly, right. My doors are locked and I will move to a different floor.
Devin once had this terrible next door neighbor in her apartment building that was so crappy that she moved like five floors up to get away from him.
Wow.
That's also okay. That's not the first time I've done a secret move out.
Really?
Because of being annoyed. Sophomore year, I lived with people and I didn't
it. Oh, yeah.
And I fully just moved out of that dorm and moved into another one without them finding out until when we came back from winter break and I wasn't there.
You had terrible luck with roommates.
But part of me thinks it might be me.
Yeah. Like, yeah, when it's that often, maybe you're the problem.
It can't be.
Oh, I had some crappy roommates in college too at the beginning.
I mean, everybody does.
I know. But anyways, going back to the advice, you can't change and you'll never change.
Yeah, whose responsibility is it? Is it the person who's accepting the change to be like, I forgive you? Or is it the bad turned good person's job to be like, I'm showing you that I'm a changed person?
I think it's the person who is changing. That's their responsibility. But like, don't involve me because I don't care.
Perfect.
And to end that.
well, this sounds like a perfect way to end our show. Daffy Dave, thank you so much for coming on.
Ah, my pleasure. My honor. Namaste. Namaste.
This is literally a dream come true. I think about you almost every time I clean my room.
Allow me to kiss my hand.
Yes. Oh.
This is such an honor for Noah because you're in the same like line of being, I don't even know, just of greatness as Shaq, Weird Al, Daffy Dave.
Weird Al.
Honestly, like I'm a big fan of musical comedy.
And oh, cool.
I honestly feel like you were one of my earliest influences.
Wow.
It was like you, and then when I got a little older, it became Weird Al.
Oh, Weird Al.
I mean, he's the best. But yeah, like...
He's the best.
Like, for some reason, I still laugh at the things that I laughed at when I was 4 years old.
You know what? Nothing wrong with that.
I know. Nothing wrong with laughing at a little Nanny Foo Foo Nanny now and then.
No way.
And chicken
my
suits.
My sister... Chicken suits. I love chicken suits. Thank you for sharing the chicken suit story. I love that. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, speaking of chickens, we always close out by asking our guest to say, bok, bok, bok.
Bok, bok, bok.
All right. This is Two Dummies. Bye.
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 Bok.